Come on in and sit down. Oh, I didn't give out the reading assignments. Shame on me. Reading assignments.
It's not very good.
Oops, you got a big one. Only because I like you. All right, welcome to Community Fellowship of Christians and Memorial Day weekend. And glad to see some of these slim retirees can still get in their uniforms. Congratulations to them. How many are former military, whether you were in the Guard or the active duty? Raise your hand big and tall. Even Larry back then. That was Spanish-American, right? But it's good to have everybody here. A couple announcements. We have flags. And if you would like a flag, help yourself to one. I told Giles I had a bunch, and he wanted some. I said, well, you come to Sunday school, and you get one. So if he comes in late, and they're all gone, not my problem. But the story behind those flags, if you remember 3 years ago or so when Elliot, that was his name, the owner of Costello's, was killed in Afghanistan, and the neighborhood really rallied around the opportunity, and they showed up at Costello's with flags, and they painted the railing, they cleaned up the place, did a whole lot for the young couple, because what was it, Vicky? Is that her name? And had a little baby, right? Okay. And so I went down to Walmart and I cleaned them out of all these flags. And these flags actually were along Highway 24 because Costello's was full of flags. And we had three TV stations show up. I called them and I got interviewed on TV, but what it was all about. I had good coverage of the event. It was just a neighborhood coming together because I think it was notified on the 3rd of July. And so we did all this stuff on the 4th or right around the 4th. So we thought it was appropriate to do the flags. So they've been sitting in my garage for a few years, so I figured put them to better use. So if you'd like one, take one. And at the end of the church service, if any left, you want another one, take it then. Okay, on the table in the fellowship hall, there's a bunch of food items and stuff. Those are from Wilma. Wilma Cheney, you know, is moving. Her kids should have arrived yesterday. Her daughter flew in from Tennessee and her son from Denver. And they're going to be packing up a U-Haul tomorrow and driving out on Tuesday. So she gave us a bunch of bags of food items. So take a look at what's there. Take whatever you want, courtesy of Wilma. And we had a big garage sale for her, and we managed to make $1,100. Most of all, we got rid of everything, pretty much everything. Mike came by on Tuesday. Mike and I took a truck, trailer, and a carload of stuff to the Goodwill. And Wilma, there's still some little things that her kids are going to have to deal with. And because of the garage sale, the yard sale, moving sale, we have a visitor, Kathy, sitting next to Pat. And she's one of Wilma's neighbors. She came to the sale, bought a bunch of stuff. And of course, I had to advertise the church. And so she came today. So welcome her and give her some attention afterwards, get to know her. She's new. She's only been here 2 months. So welcome her today. Okay, and one last announcement, then we'll get going. There's a bunch of handouts back there. One of them is the handout for the lesson. If you didn't get one of those, pick one of those up so you can fill in the blanks. But this is out here. The deacons have a ministry called Caring Hearts. And basically what it's for, we've got some people that were members of the church for a long time and they can't come anymore. They're in a home, maybe they moved away or whatever, and we don't want to forget them. So we've got the names of about 9 or 10 people on here, the phone numbers and addresses. Grab one of those. The deacons contact them regularly. Laura sends out cards. I send out cards. Call. Sometimes we visit. Like Peggy Allen would love a visit down in the Springs. But pick up one of those and make a visit. Make a contact. You know, just look at yourself 20 years from now. And you're going to be someplace and you're going to say, they forgot all about me. So make a contact down there. Okay. Trudy has that. Timberline Court, not street. Yeah, Trudy already caught two mistakes that I had. So, see, not even Trudy is perfect.
Oh, I am so far.
Yeah, Kathy. Yeah.
Yep. It's really amazing. It really makes a difference.
Yeah, so
your grandkids or your kids can write.
Yeah, do that. Good idea. Kate.
We got a card from Jim Rogers.
Yeah.
Thanking us because I send her cards on a regular basis.
Yep. Yeah, so Margaret especially, you know, they're down in Texas. She's got ALS and not doing well, so pray for her. Prayer requests then today. Prayer requests. Pray for Wilma. She's been here 26 years. She's in her 80s. She's moving across the country, and it's a big step for her. Going to be living with her daughter, who has a tiny house in her backyard. She'll be living in that. I think her dog lived there before, and then so Wilma's going to be moving in. It's got to get through that little doorway, but. And Wilma's going to be here today because we told her name's on the cake. Say, so the birthday anniversary cake today. Any other prayer requests? Yeah, Sue. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Larry's sister's terminally ill, and pray for her up in Greeley. Anybody else? Yeah, Trudy. Okay. Okay, pray for Jim. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for a beautiful day. We can come into your house, worship you, and study your word and fellowship with one another. Lord, you're so good, and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love and your blessing. Guide us, Lord, and as we look into your word, we pray for each of these that are mentioned and others we know of that need healing and encouragement, answers to prayer, wisdom, and especially for those that need salvation. Lord, we lift them up to you. And Lord, guide us now and as we study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're continuing with the miracles of Jesus. And today we've got 10 lepers that are healed. And most of you are familiar with this lesson, so we're going to see what we can get out of this. Who's got the long one to read? 17 verses 11 through 19. Okay, Pam. Okay, so we've heard that story before, and let's look at some things here. Roman number one, Jesus had an appointment with lepers. Jesus had an appointment with lepers. That's the blank there. Leprosy, at least the origin of it with the Israelites, I think maybe came from when they were in Egypt or whatever. But leprosy is not a pretty disease, and we've got a lot of bad diseases today. I mean, cancer is probably number one. ALS. That Margaret's had, and we can go on and on. Huntington's, Patsy Franz has that, and there's a lot of horrible diseases, but leprosy got to be right up there at the top. And there still are some leprosy cases in the world, I think places in Africa or whatever. So this is what's going on. I remember lepers were outcasts. I remember when I was a kid, watched some movie, I don't know, it could have been the Ten Commandments or, Greatest Story, some old black and white thing, and there were lepers in there, and I just didn't understand that. You know, they had to stay apart and had to yell unclean, unclean, and all. But we learn a lot about leprosy in the Old Testament, and it talks about if you're healed, what you're supposed to do, go to the priest and this, that, and the other. So there's a lot of things about leprosy in the Old Testament. But here Jesus comes across these 10 lepers, and they come up to him, and they must have heard about Jesus. They knew something, and they came up to him. So letter A, the men bound together with a common problem and a dreaded disease. A common problem and a dreaded disease. It's like me and Trudy. We are bound together now because we've got artificial knees. Who else has an artificial knee in here? Got any other ones? Well, if you want to get into our club, right, Trudy? The initiation is rough. But, you know, these are guys that have a common problem. They got leprosy. They can't associate with anybody except other lepers. So they're bound together by this common disease. Letter B, hope. Hope was beginning to build in their lives when they heard Jesus was coming. All right, so obviously they knew something about Jesus. And a lot of these people that, like last week when the four guys brought the crippled man to Jesus, you know, lowered him through the roof, they heard about Jesus before. Maybe they went to a few of his revival meetings. I don't know. But the word about Jesus is spread. You know, we're in the middle of his ministry or so here. And so these guys heard about Jesus. They heard about, obviously they heard about him healing people. Maybe they even heard about him healing a leper before. And so they got hope. I mean, these guys had no hope before. And they hear about Jesus. He's coming. He's going to be nearby. They got to get there to see him. They have hope. In verse 13, it says, they lifted up their voices. They lifted up their voices. And verse 15 says, with a loud voice. With a loud voice. Now, the significance of this is, one of the things that leprosy does, it kind of destroys their voices. I think that's one of the earlier signs. So maybe they didn't have a loud voice or whatever, but they did the best they could in lifting up their voices and with a loud voice cried to Jesus. And then letter D, one of the 10 was a Samaritan. It mentions that. He was a Samaritan. What's the significance of that? Well, he had two problems. This guy, the Samaritan, had two problems. Number one, he was a leper, and he was a Samaritan. John 4:9, who's got that? John 4:9, did I give that out? I may have missed that one. I went over this last night. I'm thinking I may have missed that one. Somebody can find John 4:9 real quick. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And this is when, you know, Jesus said, and Jesus must go through Samaria. And he meets the woman at the well or whatever. She was a Samaritan. So the Samaritans were outcasts. They were half-breeds, okay? And they were outcasts. So he was a leper and he was a Samaritan. The next bullet, leprosy has broken down the racial and national barriers. So this Samaritan obviously was accepted by the other lepers, who were probably all Jewish. Because this leprosy brought us together. You know, Trudy and I wouldn't be friends at all if it wasn't for our knees, right, Trudy? Yeah. We didn't get together until February 21st when I had my surgery. I said, Trudy's my buddy. But they're bound together. Before they had leprosy, they wouldn't talk to each other, but they were bound together. Letter E. They were 10 men in need. They were 10 men in need. Okay, I got something to read here. 10 men who humbled themselves, realized their true condition. Many lost people today stay in their lost condition because they refuse to admit their sinful condition, and this is a must for salvation. Romans, I don't think we hand this right. Romans 3:10 and 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. People have to, in order to be saved, you got to admit that first step, that I'm a sinner. I have disobeyed God. I'm not living up to his standards. So these men got to that point that they realized they couldn't heal themselves. They needed to go elsewhere. These 10 men did not demand their rights. Oh, this is going to be the next thing here. They didn't demand their rights, but they pleaded for mercy. They pleaded for mercy of Jesus. God's love and mercy is really beyond our understanding. But the scripture gives us much insight as to the greatness of his mercy. Following two scriptures show the great love and mercy of God. I don't think I handed out all these, but Psalms 103:8. Somebody have that? Okay. He's gracious. God's gracious. And Psalm 51:1. The greatness of his compassion. You know, some of you may be very compassionate, but not as compassionate as God is. All right, Roman numeral 2. Jesus heals the 10 lepers. And that's in verse 14 we read. He heals the 10 lepers. Letter A, Jesus spoke the word, go. You know, that's about all he said. He just said, go and show yourselves to the priest, right? He didn't. What are some different ways Jesus healed people? This is a command just to go. What else?
I said word.
Yeah, his word, he healed him. What else? Touch. Sometimes he would touch him. He touched a leper, you know. He didn't touch these lepers. He just said, go. What else? I love that. He spit on the ground, made some mud, and put it on his eyes. I said, wait a minute, you know. No. And told them then to also give him a command, go and wash. And their blindness. So he used different methods for healing, you know, and here he just said, go. And go and show yourselves to the priest. Letter B, Luke 5, verses 12 to 15. Who's got that? Okay, so here he touched the leper and told him to go show himself. Letter C, as they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. I mean, they weren't healed instantaneously. He said, go and show yourself. And but it says, as they went, they were healed. You know, was it, you know, they finally got to Jesus. They heard about him. They had faith that he could heal them. And he didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. They weren't healed immediately. He just said, go. And if Jesus tells you to do something, do it. They obeyed him. And as they went, so did these scales and stuff and all gradually disappear. And after they had gone a mile, they were completely healed. I don't know how long it took. But as they went, they were healed. Can you imagine their excitement? How long were they lepers? A year, 10 years, 30 years? You know, I don't know. How bad was their leprosy? But as they went, they were healed. And they had to be excited, you know. But 9 of them decided to continue on. They obeyed Jesus. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. You know, they went on. But the one, the Samaritan, he said, I got to go back and tell him. You know, I got to thank him. And so he turns around and goes back. Letter D. In the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin and its tragic consequences. There's a lot of things like this that draw an analogy between different things, but leprosy represents sin. It's pretty obvious in a lot of the stories in here. It's a picture of sin and its tragic consequences. I mean, leprosy leads to death. Sin leads to death, right? Eternal separation from God. The cleansing is symbolic of the washing away of sins. When Jesus cleansed them of their leprosy and they walked, and all of a sudden, as they walked, they were clean. You know, that is symbolic of when you come to Christ, you know, you're full of sin, but he forgives you of your sins and washes you white as snow, just like these guys were. Letter E, the key to their healing is the statement, as they went. You know, they didn't, as far as we know, they didn't question God, Jesus on this. But they just said, okay, we came here trusting him, and whatever he says, we're going to do it. you know, however hard it is. And he just said, you know, go and show yourselves. And so they trusted him, and as they went, that's the key. So they obeyed him as they went. Go as they went. So they went. And then F, 2 Kings 5:14. We got Naaman here. Okay. All right. Who was Naaman? Do you remember? He was a right-hand man. He was a king of Syria, I think, whatever. One of the bad guys out there. But he had leprosy. And so there was, a young gal there or something says, he needs to go see Elijah, you know, and if he wants to be healed. So anyway, he gets together with Elijah, and Elijah says, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. And Naaman gets kind of upset. He says, we got better rivers than that old dirty Jordan River. I could go wash myself in my river. You know, what's this guy doing? And his servant says to him, hey, if he had asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it, right? To cleanse yourself? Give it a try. You know, this is the man of God. I've heard good things about him or whatever. So he goes to the Jordan. And all we know is when he dipped the seventh time, he was clean. So the first 6 times, did nothing happen? Or was it a gradual process? I kind of think nothing happened the first 6 times. He had to complete the assignment. He had to dip the 7th time. And when he came up, said his skin was like baby skin. How many of you still have baby skin? How many of you got a wrinkle or two? Well, David back there, yeah. After the lesson, you can go back there and feel his face. And anyway, so here's old Naaman, and he was cleansed. Let's see what he has to say about this. It was only as the prodigal son arose up out of the pig pen and headed home that he was restored to the sonship in his father's home. Remember the story of the prodigal son. He ended up, lost everything. He was feeding the pigs and hungry. And he says, my dad's servants have a better life than this. I'm going to go back. I'm going to ask him to forgive me and let me just be a servant. I don't want to be a son. But he had to take that first step. It says, and he arose up. He started just like these guys. Started out on their trip. The question that we all should probably ask ourselves daily is, how thankful are we today to God for his bountiful blessings in our own lives? If we are honest with ourselves, we won't be too hard on the 9 who failed to return and tell Jesus thank you. All right, so we say, you know, why didn't those guys go back and thank Jesus? You know, well, they continued on. Maybe after they saw the priest, did they go hunt him down again and thank him? It doesn't say that anywhere. You can use our imagination, but look at our own lives. How many people has God done something in your life the last week? All right? And have you really thanked him for what he did and what he does day by day? You know, we need to be thankful to God. You know, take some time in your prayer time. Don't ask him for anything. Just sit there and start thanking him for stuff. Go through your day from morning till night. You know, or look back over the last few days and thank him for little things, big things in our lives. And so the other 9, as far as we know, didn't thank him, but maybe we're just as guilty as they are. Okay, next page. Roman numeral 3. 1 gave thanks, 9 did not. 1 gave thanks, 9 did not. Yeah, we already read all that, 15 through 18, because we went through 19. All right. His thanks is expressed in a fivefold way here. Number one, letter A, he returned to Christ. And there's times in our lives maybe we need to return to Christ, get back close to him, and be faithful to him. Return to Christ. Number two, in praise, verses 15 and 16, in praise he gave thanks. Psalm 50:23. Okay, that talks about praise, and we need to praise God. Psalm 100, verse 4.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful for them and bless his name.
Okay, a lot of us maybe memorized Psalm 100, but Enter with praise. When we come into this building, we need to enter with praise. We sing songs here. We just kind of mouth in the words and, oh, I know that one and all. That's an opportunity to actually voice our praise to God and give Him praise. I don't think anybody's got 107.1, do you? Oh, do you? Okay.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever.
So we got to give thanks to God. There's in the New Testament, there's a list of sins. Bad stuff. Nobody in here did any of that stuff, I don't think, you know. But in the middle of this list is a word, unthankfulness. Why is that stuck in the middle of murderers and idolaters and all this bad, bad stuff that we'd all agree that's bad stuff? And in the middle, it says unthankful. So we look at that and say, well, that's not me. Well, wait a minute, unthankful. You know, have I been unthankful this week? So it's stuck in there. So thankfulness and praise is so important in our lives. Letter C, in humility, it said he fell down at his feet, at Jesus' feet when he came back. You know, some of you would have come and just given a big hug, right? Say, hey, I'm clean, this is great. But he was so humble, he didn't want to do that. He just fell down at his feet, thanking him and praising him. Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. Okay, so we're talking about humbleness or humility here. Letter D, in worship. He came to him in worship. He said he fell on his face. All right, and Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Okay, so we're talking about worship here, worshiping Jesus, who He is, why we worship Him. And letter E, in all this, He glorified God. He glorified God. In verse 15, we read that passage, talked about He glorified God. He thanked Him, He fell down at His feet, and He shouted out, you know, His voice came back, I bet, and He shouted out, glory to God. Okay, in Roman numeral 4, one leper got everything he needed. The nine did not. Let's go ahead and read verse 19 again. Who had that big portion? Okay, Pam?
And he said to him, rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.
Okay. And in other translations it says, and your faith has saved you. And remember two weeks ago, we had the miracle that one guy had two miracles in his life. Remember, he was healed. I get it straight. What was his problem? It wasn't the guy that went through it was the guy that they lowered through the thing. And first Jesus told him, he says, your sins are forgiven. And then there was a rumbling among the scribes and Pharisees and all that. Who's this guy? He can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. And Jesus knew what they were saying. He said, well, just to show you who I am, basically, and why I have the authority to forgive sins, you know, I'll command him to get up and walk. He gets up, takes up his bed, and he walks away. So he had two healings. He was lame, and he was healed from his lameness. But the main thing was he was saved. His sins were forgiven. Same thing with this guy. The guy that went back, his sins were forgiven. So arise and go thy way. Thy faith has saved thee. And letter B, the 10 were healed of their leprosy, but only one was saved. Only one was saved. Not only from the leprosy, but also from his sin. Not only from the leprosy, but also of his sin. So he was smart to turn around and go back and thank Jesus. Give him the praise and worship and all that he deserved. And so not only was he healed of his leprosy, but he was saved. Okay, so we see this in the picture of these guys. What's some application today? First bullet, where are the nine? We don't really know what happened. Did some of them come back? What was their life like afterwards? Were they witnessing for Christ? You know, saying, hey, remember me? I was the guy that had to yell unclean. I had to live outside of town. Look, I'm clean now. You know what happened? I went to Jesus, and he healed me. And this is what he told me to do. This is what I did, and this is what happened. I would think, if you put yourself in the place of one of those nine or all ten, your life's been changed. I mean, you were heading for death. There was no cure really for leprosy, and so hopefully their life was changed. And the second bullet: are you among the nine or the one? Would you have gone back in that circumstance? Would you have gone back and thanked Jesus personally for healing you? Now we got a little thing here. It's called true salvation will bring about the following five things. True salvation. If you're a born-again believer in Christ, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, five things should be evident in your life. Number one, praise to God. Praise to God. That's why we're here today, to give praise to God. Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. Okay, I like that. He took me out of this miry clay. Have you ever been stuck in some mud or whatever, and it's hard to get out of it and all? Pull your foot out and the boot stays down there or whatever. And that's a picture of him, you know, before he was saved. You know, he was stuck in the mud. We had a guy, he was on staff actually at our old church down in Colorado Springs, Ed Vedito. He was quite the character. He was loud, outspoken, and he wanted to be on his side. And anyway, he ended up to be on staff as associate pastor. But I'm pretty sure this was his life verse. I can't remember his background, where he came from, but he pictures God pulling him out of the miry clay and putting his feet on solid ground. So that's praise of God. Hebrews 13:15. All right, the sacrifice of praise. We need to praise God. Number two, wholehearted devotion to the Lord Jesus. Wholehearted devotion. These are things that should be evident in our life if we're a saved, born-again Christian. Wholehearted devotion to the Lord. Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21. All right, here's one of Paul's great proclamations, right? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, Paul had a rough time. You know, he had a rough life after he became a follower of Christ and the greatest missionary ever. And but here he says, if I'm going to keep living, that's great. But if I die, that's even better. So this was his great statement of faith, his wholehearted devotion to the Lord Jesus. And Galatians 2:20. Now, that's a great verse. A lot of us memorize that. It got these extra little phrases, and sometimes we forget one or two. But it's another great proclamation that Paul made here. You know, that he is truly devoted to Jesus Christ. Number three, complete dedication. Complete dedication to the service of Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2, another very famous passage. Okay, so here Paul again is saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus doesn't want us to sacrifice our dogs and cats and sheep and goats or whatever to him. He wants our bodies. He wants us, our hope, to be fully dedicated to him. He says, present your body as a living sacrifice. And kind of a little twist on things. Well, sacrifices, you kill them and you offer them. But God wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice to him. And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 15. For Christ God compels us, since we have reached this conclusion,
no longer lives for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised.
So we should not, if we're a Christian, we should no longer live for ourselves. We just need to live for Christ. We need this dedication, complete dedication. Number four, public confession of our faith. Public confession of our faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10, another famous, famous portion of Scripture.
If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved.
All right, so here Paul's making it very clear how to be saved. You know, if you ever want to witness to somebody, the Roman road to salvation, you start at Romans 3:23, then 6:23, then Romans 5:8, then Romans 10, 9 and 10. And to present the plan of salvation, Paul makes it so clear in the book of Romans what it means to be a Christian, how to be a Christian, how to be saved, how to be born again, what all that means. And so here it talks about a public confession. You know, if you've accepted Christ in your life, if you're saved, you wouldn't want to just sit there and not tell anybody. You'd want to make a public profession. You know, that's why a lot of churches have people come forward to make a public, hey, I'm following Christ. Our church in Arizona, I've been giving the pastor a fit. Partly because of COVID, things got turned upside down. So during the invitation time, and it's not quite as strict an invitation as a typical Southern Baptist church, but he wants the people to go to the back. It's called the next step table. That's a new word, next step. And the pastor, associate pastor will be there and he'll be there, but you go to the back. And I said, that's backwards. You come forward to be saved, you know, to make a public profession. But in that church, you got to go backwards. But anyway, regardless how, what happens, you're going to want to tell somebody that you're a Christian, what Christ did for you. Just like this guy, he had to tell somebody. He had to come back and thank Jesus. And the last one, the sharing of our testimony to others. The sharing of our testimony to others. Mark 5:19.
And he did not let him, but he said to him, go home to your people and report to them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you.
Okay, so he's telling him to go and tell somebody. Sometimes, remember, he says, don't tell anybody. You know, but this time he says, go and tell what Christ has done for you. And so these should be lessons in our life. Salvation will bring about the following five things. Are these things evident in your life? Praise to God, wholehearted devotion to the Lord Jesus, complete dedication of service to Christ, public confession of our faith, and the sharing of our testimony to others. Okay, anybody got anything to add? Anything to add to the lesson? Next week, Gerard, who's not here, is going to be preaching, teaching. I'm not sure. Does anybody know what he's going to be teaching on? It'll be good. It'll be a college class. And if you don't know who Gerard is, he's got a PhD. I don't have a PhD, but Gerard knows the Bible really well. Dieter, do you know what he's going to be speaking on? Do you know what Gerard's going to be speaking on? It's going to be a surprise. Come and be surprised. I guarantee he won't be handing out flags, though. But maybe he'll bring a box of donuts. I doubt it. All right, let's close in prayer. George, you lead us in prayer?
Yeah. Our Father, we thank you for this day. What a beautiful day. We thank you for all the days that you give us and the blessings that you bring down on us. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor, Peter, and what he brings to our church. Through him, we hear your word. It's so blessed and so pleasing. We will be able to receive that. Father, we just pray now that you will, for each one of us, the rest of the day, be with us. Let the honor of us keep us in your prayers. Keep us safe. Father, we pray.
Amen.